Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio on the move. We are today coming to you from Niles, Ohio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our phone line open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. So, here's the question to you. I want the phone line open. If Cole Hamels rejects 6 years, $130 million, should they bag him? Simple as that. You're working people. You go every day. You try to go out and you try to slog it out every single day. You have to pay your bills every month. You have to pay your mortgage every month. If he rejects 6 years at $130 million, do you bag him? And just say, good luck, go someplace else, don't even bother counteroffering. That's the question I'm going to ask at 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565.
What was the number that we heard that he was looking for? I mean, I don't think they've ever specified a number that says, I want $140 million. This has to be real close to what he was originally thinking. When you factor in, you know, the amount of money that CeCe got, the amount of money that Johan Santana got, I mean, this is in the ballpark.
Well, it's in the ballpark. There's no doubt about that. It's going to be interesting. I've never heard a number from him. I've never heard a number from his people.
No, I didn't either. And that's what makes me wonder what that number might be, what he thinks that number would be, and trying to come up with a reason why he wouldn't want to sign this deal.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, unless he thinks there's a possibility for $140-150 million at the end of the year and the beginning of next year when free agency signings come up. That's the only thing. But he's got to know that he's going to be traded if he doesn't sign this, because the Phils are going to want to get something for him.
Well, I understand that. You know, I mean, Cliff Lee received 5 years, $120 million. So they're giving him the extra year at 6 years, $130 million, according to Bob Nightingale.
Right. We should reiterate that this hasn't been offered yet. This is just the discussion of what is proposed.
Yeah. So
I can't, unless he has a number, his agent, I should say, has a number in mind that he thinks he can get on the free agent market at the end of the year. That's the only way I think he does not re-sign with the Phils.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I have not heard ever what he wanted. Now, no. Matt Cain got 5 years, $112.5 million, right? Now, I know you call Cain a 500 pitcher, but I think you and I both know. You watch the guy pitch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wasn't trying to, you know, I wasn't belittling the fact. I mean, that's just what is, he's a 5-10 winning percentage right now, but I agree with you.
Yeah, but, you know, part of that is lack of offensive support
and
things like that.
Sure, I mean, you have to take that with a grain of salt. You're right.
And in the postseason, you know, he's helped pitch his team to a World Series championship. Hamels, to his credit, in this contract year, is 11-4 with a 3.07, and he's averaging a strikeout per inning. And he's just 125 over 126 innings. But if you know, to you fans out there, right, the bottom line is, if he were to reject 6 years at $130 million, would any of you say, okay, here's a counteroffer, or would you bag him?
I can't imagine a counteroffer, because I can't imagine what you would want. What else you could offer him?
Don't know.
I mean, besides another $10 million.
Right.
I don't know if the six-year part of this contract is the only thing that really, really worries me.
Well, sure, it should, because, again, we get back to what I call the Wayne Garland, Johan Santana syndrome. Now, here's another trade that was put up that is a pot that – here's another trade that – rumor that's intriguing. Heath Bell and Hanley Ramirez from the Miami Marlins to the Red Sox for Carl Crawford and a prospect. I'm Ben Cherington, the general manager of the Red Sox. I'll charter the plane to send Crawford down there.
Do you need a hand?
I mean, if that rumor is legit, then I make it.
By the way, you were talking about the Nationals and Steven Strasburg's innings limit. There's a report out that they are looking to add a starter because Strasburg is coming up on his innings limit, which no one really knows what it is.
We don't know what it is.
We don't know what it is right.
Wait, yeah. I mean, the numbers 160 and 170 have been thrown out there. And I'll be honest with you. I find the whole thing absurd. I find it absurd. You have a chance to win now. And the guy says he feels great. Well, why mess around with this?
I don't know what the thought process is there. I really don't.
I understand the thought process, and the thought process makes complete sense to me if they're a middle-of-the-road team that's probably not going to get there. But they think in the next few years they're going to be right in the mix all the time, right? Now, it makes sense to me then. But when you are sitting there and you have a chance to do something the franchise has not done, and something the franchise hasn't done since the 80s when they were the Expos and they had a lot of young talent at that point, this makes no sense to me at all. When the guy says he feels great,
got a caller on the line for you. It's Roger on the road.
Roger, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
I just can't get enough Cole Hamels. So that's why I call back.
I mean, well, of course, all of us can't.
There's a good, to what you said a few minutes ago, you know, if you offer Cole Hamels 6 years, 130, and if that's not good enough for him, I move on. And there's a good piece on Philly.com from Bob Brookover about what else you can do with that kind of money. You can make a serious run for Josh Hamilton in the offseason with that kind of money. You could get Zach Greinke and Michael Bourne, Zach Greinke and Chase Headley with that kind of money. So, you know what? If optimally the Phillies re-sign Hamels, but if they don't, there are a lot of other things they can do with that money to improve their team.
I absolutely agree with that.
Yep.
So I absolutely agree with that.
And I think it's good to get the best offer out there now. And but also, you know, if he says, no, I don't want that, I don't know that I necessarily trade him unless you can get a Mike Olt or somebody of that caliber, because then you're really pulling the plug in the rest of the season. And I think the way the Phillies are playing now and their health is coming around, I think July 31st is too soon to throw in the towel. But if you get rid of Hamels, I think that's what you do.
I think I agree with that completely. I think that, number one, the idea that, well, we have to get something for him. Not necessarily, because you can get something for him by taking the $130 million, as you said, and investing in someplace else in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And you can get two quality players or a superstar like Josh Hamilton as a possibility. So, actually, you still would be getting something for him. You'd just be channeling your money in that direction. I say as the next 2 weeks goes along and the Phillies slowly creep themselves into this thing, because of the second wild card, you keep it and find out what the results are.
Yeah. And to the Strasburg thing, I mean, I agree that an innings limitation is ridiculous. But if you're going to do that, if you're going to say, listen, this guy's only going to pitch 160, 170 innings this year, you know, why don't you skip a few starts in April, May, June? You know, why don't you, you know, skip a start once a month or whatever. You know, why do you run him up to August or something and say, okay, that's it, he's done, and then you don't have your best pitcher for the last 6 weeks of the season? That makes no sense whatsoever.
As of right now, if I'm Davey Johnson, Roger, I cut him down to five innings. Yeah. And over the course of five starts, you gain another start. Instead of six innings, you gain start. You gain another start by pitching him five instead of six.
Yeah, makes no sense.
I find the whole thing absurd. This guy feels great. He wants the ball. Let him go.
Agreed.
You know?
Okay.
Winning's hard enough. I mean, that's what gets me. That people think winning's easy. What's really cool about winning is it's hard.
And you don't get the opportunity to do it that often. So.
No, you don't.
All right.
The Nationals know that firsthand. Roger, thank you. Yeah, if anybody knows, it's the Nationals. It's not easy to win. That's why I find this thing with him. You can baby somebody so much that you end up getting nothing out of them. And if I'm Davey Johnson and if I know what the innings limit is, instead of pitching him six innings, I pitch him five. I get him a quality start, 5-5-5-5-5, and I go all the way through, and but over 10 starts, you gain two starts. If you go five innings instead of six with the guy, right, over the next 50 innings, okay, you actually gain two extra starts out of the guy.
Well, let's say he continues on and continues to throw innings, and maybe they decide to just ignore this innings limit, and they add a guy like Ryan Dempster to the Nationals roster.
Right.
Boy, that would be really, in my mind, scary for anybody in the NL East.
Sure it can be. And maybe you consider along the way, say you add a Ryan Dempster, okay? You toy with a six-man rotation along the way where you can skip a start with Strasburg here and there. That way you're still staying somewhere within the parameters of this ridiculous
I like to call it the phantom limit. But, no, that's exactly what I was thinking, because you add a guy like Dempster and then maybe you can put him in and maybe save him to the end of the year like you were just talking about instead of going to mid-August and saying, okay, out of innings.
I mean, but I you still pitch him, though.
In other words, instead of
pitching him, you know, the fifth day of the rotation, you throw him out there in the sixth where you're stretching him out a little more, and you cut the inning thing down from six to five. Now you do that. You probably tacked on four or five more starts. Yeah. What happens if he gets to the magic limit in the second inning of the playoffs?
With a 1-0 lead.
Now what do you do?
Let me think. You know, talking about the trade deadline, let's look at the Pirates. I think the Pirates have an opportunity to make some moves here. They're looking to upgrade third base. What's out there at third base for the Pirates to maybe grab a hold of?
Why would they want to upgrade third base? They have Alvarez.
Well, I'm sorry. The Orioles are looking to upgrade third base. I was talking about the same story. The Pirates are looking to get somebody in the middle of the order. The Orioles are talking to them about starting pitching in third base. Sorry.
Right. Yeah, they want an outfielder. I mean, the Pirates want an outfielder. That's what they want, because to the credit of Garrett Jones, he has done a good job at first base, and he's given them pop at first base. I mean, he's been hitting with power, and that's been a plus. Pedro Alvarez has certainly had his ups and downs, but more up lately. So good news. So there are a lot of things like that are going on with the Pirates, but they need another power guy in either left or right field, and that's what they're looking for. Now, where the Orioles can provide that, I would find that interesting. So...
I wonder if Upton would be one of those possibilities for the Pirates.
What, Justin Upton?
Justin, yeah.
Yeah. Well, certainly a possibility. And I think he would be a could be a plus. I know the Pirates thought they had a shot at Hunter Pence last year. But I and in the reality, they never came close to getting Hunter Pence. I mean, when the Phillies stepped in and they had a better, but it's one thing the Pirates do have. The Pirates do have an organization with some depth in it, and especially with the young pitchers. The Pirates are going to have to be very smart with how they handle this. And I think years ago the Cardinals were an affiliate. Had State College as the affiliate in 2006. And at the time, the general manager of the Cardinals was Walt Jocketty. And Walt Jocketty is now the general manager of the Cincinnati Reds. And a couple of different times during the course of that summer, he came to State College, and I had him on the broadcast with me because I thought it was great to get the perspective of the GM out there looking at prospects. And one of the times I had him on, Kevin, was right about this time of the year. And we're sitting in the broadcast booth at Medler Field, Lebronto Park, and I looked at him, and I said, Walt, the trade deadline's coming up. I said, and of course the Cardinals are looking to improve themselves. And the Cardinals, by the way, won the World Series that year. They beat Detroit. I said, you're in the thick of the race right now. I said, how important is it for you to balance knowing exactly what you're acquiring to also know exactly what you're giving up? And he looked at me and he said, that is the whole ball game right there. He says, it's not just what you're getting. He says, I'm here right now looking at this club because I want to make sure that if I do make a move, I want to know potentially what I'm giving up.
Well, and yesterday we talked about maybe Shane Victorino going to the Dodgers. But, you know, we're talking about the Pirates here. And one of the things that popped in, we were talking about Justin Upton and needing outfielders. What about the Pirates being able to pick up Victorino instead of going to the Dodgers, where I'm not sure exactly, you know, who the Phillies would be looking at there from the Dodgers? What if he goes to the Pirates and the Pirates offer the Phillies some middle inning relief?
Possibly, sure. It's a distinct possibility.
I mean, that sounds like a win-win there.
Well, it's a win-win where the Pirates get somebody in there like Victorino with his experience and what he brings to the table, and the Phillies get somebody that can help out their bullpen, and the Pirates has some depth in their bullpen where they could give up somebody like that. And by the way, the Phillies would save a lot of money along the line too, which you're talking about salary cap issues with Hamels. That's something that would help them salary cap-wise. Now, I think initially what would happen is that the Phillies would probably pick up the vast majority of Victorino's salary down the stretch as well. But down the road, they wouldn't have Victorino to deal with. News Radio 1070 WKOK on this Wednesday afternoon. A lot of thunderstorms out there in the Susquehanna Valley today. Be careful. Phone line open at Lenape Solar at 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. If Cole Hamels rejects 6 years, 130, do you bag him? I'd like to hear from you as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you up front for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. News in just a few moments from Sarah Bartlett at the bottom of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. And we talked about heat yesterday. It was 95 here. I know it was 95 in Sunbury yesterday. Sunbury, Danville, Sealands Grove, Milton, Lewisburg, it was all 95 degrees yesterday up and down the valley, Montoursville. We had Rick calls from Montoursville yesterday. And one of the players for the Spikes last night when the game was over, they rolled the ambulance in here because dehydration and heat exhaustion. He played in the game last night, and later the trainer asked him, he said, were you drinking? He says, and the player said, he said, you know, after every inning we came in, he said, I had a cup of water. So finally he said, what about before the game? And he looks at me and says, before the game? No, I had nothing before the game.
I wasn't thirsty then.
Oh, he says, you worked out for an hour on the field when it was 95 degrees. You had nothing? He says, no. He says, yeah, they finally released him from the hospital at 2 o'clock this morning, so he's okay. He won't play tonight, but wow. You want to talk about an entire bus was scared last night when it happened. Interesting. So to all of you out there during the heat, hydrate.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That number, powered by Lenape Solar, is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Jump in anytime you want on the Lenape Solar hotline. Give us a call. Say hi to Kevin.
I'm all for that.
Fans love you.
Hey, I found this on the Big Ten Network website. Two Penn State Nittany Lions have fallen, or actually, I thought there were two Lions that were on the Big Ten list, but hang on now. I'll have to look at that again. See, this is what happens when you think and speak at the same time. Bad things happen to me. This is the second time that's happened today.
Fine. I'll fill until you find.
Great, thanks.
It's what we do. Yeah.
Do you have enough fill for the next 24 minutes?
yes, I do.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, talk about luck. I mean, we do. One thing I never did find, and I know they were talking about it doing this yesterday, was that football announcers poll. And
I never did see that.
Nope, neither did I. And they were supposed to release it at the SEC Media Day yesterday. Yeah, they never did. So,
well, here it is. It's actually not necessarily Penn State. They're two players in the Big Ten that were on a list for the Heisman, potentially. Monty Ball was the first, and Denard Robinson was another one.
Well, Monty Ball should be. I mean, that was an easy call for me when it came to they're going to announce it next week, but they're going to announce the 10 players of influence in the Big Ten coming up. And, yeah, they pick five from each division. Those are two of the easier calls. First of all, Monty Ball finished in the top five of the Heisman ballot last year. And he has good, you know, good unit coming back in front of him. And Denard Robinson's one of the more exciting players at all of college football.
I think of what he did all by himself the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, well, Toussaint's back there now. I mean, that he can't completely – he has a compliment as a tailback now that's a big plus for him. But you look at what Monty Ball did. Monty Ball averaged 6.5 yards a carry last year. The guy has 61 career touchdowns, Kevin. 61 career touchdowns. The guy's a really good receiver out of the backfield. People never talk about that. He averaged 14.5 yards a reception last year out of the backfield. 16 career 100-yard rushing games. And he has, I'll tell you, he has a real stud group in front of him. Even though they lost Kevin Zeitler, and I voted Zeitler last year as the top lineman on my list in the Big Ten. I thought he was tremendous. But, you know, he still has Ricky Wagner back. He still has Rob Havenstein back. Now Ryan Croy, Casey Den, and Travis Frederick. And Frederick, the center, is a really good-looking player. That's a good offensive line that he has in front of him. And Jacob Pedersen, the tight end, very good blocker in this offense. Now, he's not going to have the fullback he had last year. I think Sherrard Cadogan's probably going to be the guy that has to step up and play fullback. And not only that, but while Ball can get 25 carries in a game, maybe 30, they still have James White. You know, James White is one heck of a running back. You know, you gotta realize, I mean, White himself, I mean, I think a lot of running backs would like to have in college football five career 100-yard rushing games, 20 career touchdowns, which James White has. I mean, those are his numbers. That's the backup guy. He was among the guys that got a lot of votes for Big Ten Freshman of the Year 2 years ago. But Monty Ball is just really good. Has a real good feel for it. He doesn't break a lot of long runs. Yeah, that's what a lot of people don't realize. You know, a lot of times when guys get big games, you know there's one big run in there somewhere. You know what the Ball's longest run of his career is? 54 yards. This guy just pounds you and pounds you and pounds you. I mean, there's certain ways to beat you. One of them is to take a sledgehammer, pound you over the head, and knock you out. The other one is to give you like 200 paper cuts. There are times
where I'd rather have the sledgehammer.
Right, I mean, there are times where Monty Ball paper cuts you to death. You know, gain of five, gain of six, gain of seven, gain of five, gain of six, gain of seven. That's how he plays.
Well, here's where the Penn Stater that I was referring to fell into the place. They had 18 Heisman contenders, and from the Big Ten, among those were Rex Burkhead and Taylor Martinez.
I really like Burkhead a lot. Taylor Martinez, I like as a runner, and I like his feel for the game, Kevin, but I can't stand him as a thrower. I mean, I can't.
From a mechanic standpoint, or is there something intangible?
You love the Olympics, right?
Sure do.
You'll watch track and field, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. If I were you, take a good long look at the shot put, and then take a look at the tape of Taylor Martinez.
Okay.
Very similar.
I was going to say, are we looking at similar styles?
That's probably similar.
A bad thing. You're right.
I mean, he shot puts the ball so much, and I think what makes him an effective thrower is that the running game for Nebraska is so good that you commit to try and stopping it, and you get more one-on-one matchups, and that helps him. I mean, he's somewhat accurate with it, but he is an excellent runner, and he's excellent in the option. Burkhead, to me, is the definition of a Nebraska I-back. He gets the most out of it. He's Jeff Kinney. He's I Am Hip. He's Jarvis Redwine. He's all of those guys. Right?
Let's see. Oh, go ahead. Finish up that thought. I'm sorry.
No, I'm done.
On the other ones on that 18 contenders list, Braxton Miller of Ohio State.
Oh, boy, not yet. Not yet, Kev. Not yet. And I'll say not yet. He doesn't throw the ball well enough. And the other part, too, is that what's really interesting about him, and I'm just going to take the Penn State game because that's the one I can relate to the most. Do you realize in the Penn State game, and he ran effectively, okay, do you realize how many times he pitched the ball in that game?
How many times he pitched the ball?
Yeah, on the option.
No, I don't know. I can't.
Zero.
No. He had to do it at least once.
No. Not one time in the game did he pitch the ball. Whenever he came down the line on the read option, he ran it every time.
Wow. I would not have said now, zero. No way.
Now, as an option quarterback, he is going to be really good. He'll be very, very effective. But, again, Taylor Martinez probably has a better feel in the passing game than Braxton Miller does. Now, Miller's young. I mean, he's only a true sophomore. So he's a guy that bears watching. No doubt he bears watching because he is a true sophomore with great talent. But you're looking at a guy who has more career 100-yard rushing games than he does 200-yard passing games. He has three career 100-yard rushing games and one career 200-yard passing game in his career. And last year, he only completed 50% of his passes. That has to change. I mean, that has to change.
Let's see. The other one on that part of the list as now possibilities, Keenan Davis of Iowa.
Good wide receiver, good punt returner. I like him a lot. He is a guy that that was overshadowed in part by Marvin McNutt last year. And Keenan Davis is a wide receiver and a punt returner that does a lot of good things for him. I mean, the guy, as a kick returner, averaged about 21 yards a kick return last year. And as a wideout, not bad. I mean,
he's almost a first down every time they throw to him.
Almost. I mean, he averaged 15 yards a catch last year. But he has two career 100-yard passing games. And to be a receiving games, to be a dominant wideout, you have to have more than that in the season. He'd have to have, to me, to be get a long look, like, 7 or 8 100 yards in
sure.
a season, let
sure.
alone the two he has in his career.
And he needs to catch more touchdowns. Sometimes that just happens where you're a possession receiver, not a touchdown receiver. But
no, I mean, he could be a game breaker for him, but he's been overshadowed by Marvin McNutt. He was the go-to guy in the pass game. Davis will be the go-to guy in the pass game now. But you look at Taylor Martinez. Martinez has, again, same story as Braxton Miller. More 100-yard rushing games in his career than 200-yard passing games. He has 8 career 100-yard passing games in his career. 3 200-yard passing games. 8 100-yard rushing games. Only 3 200-yard passing games in his career. And Burkhead, I just like. I mean, yeah, Burkhead just produces.
Well, the last one that was on that the possibilities list, and this is the one I was referring to earlier, was Silas Redd.
Okay. Appears to be a big-time back.
Yeah. I didn't realize he carried the ball, like, almost 250 times last year.
Right. Oh, yeah, he did. He absolutely
I mean,
did.
And still averaged 5 yards every time he touched the football.
Exactly. And he's a home run. He's a game-breaker, a home run guy. He can take it to the house. I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy who, you know, has 7 career. I mean, you know, he has 7 career 100-yard rushing games in his career. And.
But he loved October last year, didn't he?
Yeah, he loved October last year. But where, I'll tell you where he has to be better, and he has really worked hard at this. He has worked very hard at becoming a better receiver out of the backfield. Because the idea is to put Silas Redd in space, and in space let things happen. He has been no better than an okay receiver to this point in his career. I mean, even, for example, running screens have been tough with him because his timing hasn't been very good with the screen, or his timing and spacing with the offensive line hasn't been great. But you know what? I watched him in the spring. He has dramatically improved as a wide receiver. And in Bill O'Brien's offense, he is a guy that is going to give them a lot of options in the pass game. I mean, if Redd stays healthy, Okay, if Red stays healthy, I think this upcoming season he can gain 1,200 yards rushing, and I think he can give them about 400 yards receiving. You know, and if you maybe tack on a little bit here and there, he could have a 1,700-yard season from scrimmage if he's healthy.
And 250 carries? Probably not as many this year, I don't think.
Well, yeah, Bill Belton and Curtis Dukes. And I think I haven't talked to Bill O'Brien about this, but with Davon Smith not being there, I don't know what they want to do with Bill Belton because they moved him to tailback and they liked him a lot. But this guy also can play that slot receiver spot. Now, whether they feel good about where he is now, I mean, that's something that Bill has to make a decision on that as to whether, you know, because Curtis Dukes is back. Curtis Dukes is back, and he looks lean and cut. I saw Curtis Dukes on Friday at Lift for Life, and he looked really good. And he straightened out his academic house in the spring. So he's back, and he's ready to play. Now, having him back might, and I emphasize the word might, at least give them the possibility of looking at the option of Belton as being a slot receiver. But Belton did a great job at tailback. That was a move that they made in the spring that I know the coaches were very happy with.
A couple of quick baseball updates before we go to break here. New York Yankees in Toronto in a delay. Bottom of the seventh, Yankees up 6-0. Top of the ninth, Milwaukee ahead of St. Louis 4-2. Now top of the seventh, Philadelphia and the Dodgers all tied at 1. Boy, that must be a great pitcher's matchup there.
Kershaw against
Yeah.
Lee.
Yeah, that must be a dandy.
Yeah, Clayton Kershaw and Cliff Lee. Right.
And just on the opposite side of things, Colorado and Pittsburgh tied at 6 in the bottom of the fourth. 12 runs, 4 innings. You do the math, not much pitching there.
Welcome to Coors.
Yeah, really. San Diego leading Houston, bottom 5, 5-0, and scoreless between Texas and Oakland, top of the fifth.
Well, Houston's done. I mean, Houston's won 10 games on the road all year. I can think the Padres, even with their record, can mail it home from here.
Speaking of winning on the road, can the Phillies play all their games on the road?
Probably wouldn't help attendance at home.
No.
Our number 1-800-795-9565. We continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Okay, welcome back to the show. Final segment of the show for today. So we give you the opportunity to offer Cole Hamels 6 years, $130 million. If he rejects it, do you blow him up and move on?
See ya. Thanks for being a Philly. Now we're going to get something out of you.
Well, I think that's the best point out of all of this is that, and we had talked about this earlier, and then Roger, when he called, reinforced it. You take the $130 million and you give it to somebody else.
Or a couple of somebody else's, yeah.
Right, exactly right. If you have enough in your budget to do that, then I think you have enough in your budget to look at them and say, well, we have $130 million. We can distribute it a couple of different ways.
But think if they don't sign Cole Hamels, the Phillies decide to trade Rollins and maybe even Victorino as well. Wow, does that open up some room come, you know, free agent season?
Sure it does. Opens up a lot of room.
But it also means you're not playing for this year anymore either.
No, you're not playing for this year. And that's why I think when you look at this, that I think they will play it out. I think they finally have their team together. They might as well find out what the heck's in the tank. I mean, I would. I'd like to find out what the heck's in the tank. I would take a long look at that.
I look at the Pirates right now, and they're, you know, they're starting to hit. I mean, we talked about this for the last couple of weeks. They're starting to hit the ball really well. McCutchen hit a home run the other day that was just enormous. Now, I realize it was Coors Field. But, man, it was just one of those that came off the bat, and you just had to sit and watch it for a while. It was that beautiful of a shot. And, boy, if they can ever find a little bit of offensive help to go along with that, they would be very, very dangerous in the playoffs with the pitching they have.
Yeah, here's one of the problems that the Pirates have. I know the organization well enough because I've seen guys come through State College and have moved up. And they don't really have a bat in the organization that they can call up and do something. That's a big issue.
Yeah, no September call-ups are going to help there. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's not just a September call-up. It's a now call-up. I mean, there's not a hot prospect in their organization right now. They have hot prospects in pitching in or organization, but they don't need pitching up in the big club right now. They're good in the big club with pitching. I mean, I think most teams would love to have the pitching that they have in that club. All right? But, you know, so they could call up guys that can help them on the mound, but they don't really have a lot of guys that they can really look to as a quality option to bring up as a bat. Just don't. And that's why if they want to do something, they're going to have to make a trade. They're going to have to, you know, if they want to upgrade their offense, it's not going to happen, the upgrade internally. The upgrade is going to have to happen externally.
Now, I know we have a few Mets fans, one or two that call me to make sure they remind me that the Mets are playing very well.
Well, exactly.
Where are the Mets, what are the Mets looking to get out of the free agent or out of the trade deadline right now?
Wow.
I've heard they're interested in Jonathan Broxton, for one.
Right.
And of course, Balfour as well.
Right. And that would obviously solidify their bullpen. I don't think there's any question about that. But here's one thing if you're a Mets fan that's worried about, you have to worry about. They've had some pretty decent opening halves of seasons. All right? It's the second half that's done them in. Why? And that's the most disconcerting part about being a Mets fan is watching what they've done in the second half. So, you know, what do they do? What do the Mets do? Jonathan Broxton would help them. Because, I mean, that helps in terms of, you know, a lot of things that they can do.
Is Francisco coming back at all?
Well, that's a possibility. Well, you've got about, and look, they're looking at Jonathan Broxton, all right? What about Houston Street?
Well, there's a lot of people looking at him right now.
Yeah, but again, there's some money involved.
Right.
All right. Francisco Rodriguez.
Yep.
Another guy that maybe the Mets can look at.
But there's like $4 million left on his contract, right. And I doubt they're going to want to do that.
Right. So it's the bullpen that they need to upgrade. And that's where the issue comes in. They have to somehow make a decision on which guy to go with. Do you go for Jonathan Broxton? Okay. That would be interesting. Houston Street? Possibility.
Also, rumors going around that they're looking for a catcher, too, and the Rockies' Ramon Hernandez came up, but again, right. There's money owed there through next season that the Mets may not be willing to do anything about.
And again, remember, the Mets are in this... If I recall correctly, the Mets ownership got caught up in the Bernie Madoff scandal.
There's a money issue there.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. We're going to talk with MLBTradeRumor.com. We're going to talk to one of their correspondents tomorrow on the show. So we'll sort all of this out. By the time that segment's over with, we'll have it all solved. But that's what we do. We solve.